Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to Cricket Central. On this edition, home advantage pays as the Super Kings and the Royals set the pace in the Champions League T20. Otago maintains the momentum after breezing through the qualifiers, but the Australians struggle to make an impression in the early going. All that and more on today's Cricket Central. With me as usual to tell it like it is, our cricket writer and broadcaster Faraz Sarwat and our favourite Aussie Josh McLean, head coach at Toronto Cricket Club, who has promised me faithfully there will be no sledging on this week's programme. And if you're wondering what sledging is, it's got nothing to do with winter sports. It's got something to do with Australians and intimidating batsmen and verbal abuse down the years.
Why do we have such a reputation for doing that?
I don't know. Did they invent it? I'm not quite sure. We are at the midpoint of the group stages of the Champions League T20. It's taking place at various venues across India. To remind you, 10 teams aiming for 4 semi-final berths. And so far, so good, I think, as far as the home teams are concerned. Perhaps no surprise that we're seeing Chennai and Rajasthan both unbeaten 2-for-2.
Yeah, no real surprise there. And it was always going to be one or two of the IPL teams at the very top of the tables. And if it wasn't Rajasthan and Chennai, it would have been the Sunrisers and the Indians. You know, the tournament is kind of designed to favor IPL teams. I mean, they're playing in India. They know the conditions, the climate, all of those kinds of things come into play. Familiarity with conditions is always huge in cricket. And any little advantage, goes a long way. So not surprising to see the Indian teams at the fore.
And yet here we have 10 pretty good teams. Some of them have come through the qualifiers, and we'll talk about Otago, the New Zealanders, in a little while. You wouldn't think necessarily that it would make that much difference because there's quality in all these teams. But it's quite clear so far that the home teams are making hay while the sun shines.
A lot of the players that are involved in these various franchises, they play all over the world in these various teams. T20 competitions, so they should be now quite adept to changing their game to various conditions, but there's just nothing like playing at home. And we see that the Indian sides look a little more comfortable than the rest, even though, we'll talk about it in a second, the New Zealand side have played on a couple of wickets with a bit of a green tinge, and that's almost favoured them in a way.
Yeah, we'll get on to the Volts, who have been electric so far in this tournament. I'm sorry to use the pun again. It was just too good to throw away last week. Let's talk about the Super Kings first, if we may. Finding runs easy to come by, a couple of big scores against the Titans and the Sunrisers. Suresh Raina in fine form, and we've got to discuss MS Dhoni batting at number 5 and scoring so quickly. I mean, you're always going to be in every game with somebody like that batting that far down the order.
Well, that's right. I mean, he's got ice water for blood, doesn't buckle under pressure, takes it all. No better finisher in modern cricket right now. And those massive sixes that he hits to win games is just incredible. I mean, he's made a career out of it now, and he's always a threat. So even when you think that there's tons of runs on the board to defend and you've taken a lot of wickets, but if MS Dhoni is on the crease, the game isn't won, because as long as he's there, he's going to take it away from you.
How do you bowl to somebody like that, or how do you set a field to somebody like that? I mean, the simple answer would be no, but you've got to try.
Yeah, well, you've got to have a fielder in the 20th row and one in the 40th row. And it's amazing, isn't it? Has anyone thought to check whether MS Dhoni is actually human? I mean, who hits a ball as far as this guy in world cricket? It's just unbelievable. But what I've noticed is that I didn't think it was possible for this guy to get any better, but it's almost as if he's gone up another level. I mean, how good is this guy, Faraz? He's got to go down as one of the greatest T20 specialists of all time.
Well, that's right. It's not just that he's getting his side home. It's just this dominance, this absolute dominance of just smashing these sixes, and doesn't take any pressure. You look at him, he seems calm, and not even the great jubilation at the end of these wins. It's almost as if he expected this to happen, and he kind of calmly walks off with a bit of a smile. And so I think that also adds a dimension to MS Dhoni. So the Chennai Super Kings with this man at the helm, well, almost unstoppable.
So part of it is technique, and I think, Josh, it is also partly when you've got somebody like Dhoni and he's on, the chances are it doesn't matter where you bowl to him or where you set your field, you may well be going over the ropes on a regular basis, which as the bowler is, you're almost frightened to run up and turn your arm over.
Yeah, you're right. And we speak about batting in cricket in particular being such a mental game. The great thing about MS Dhoni is it's not just his power hitting, it's his ability to sum up the situation. When do I milk ones? When is it time to go big? And he just seems so good at that. There's really no bowler in world cricket that has an answer at the moment. moment.
Yeah, he's a very versatile player, just as you say. He can bat anywhere in the order, and he can even, you know, as Josh said, tailor his game to the situation. We've also seen games where, in fact, Dhoni wasn't hitting any sixes, not in this particular tournament where he's been on fire, but we've seen innings from him in the past, whether for India or whether for Chennai, where he's just kind of taking the ones and twos and at one point even seem bogged down, and then suddenly the floodgates open and the boundaries start coming. So he's in control of his game. He knows his game. And I think the real key here is that he doesn't take the pressure. He just seems that he's playing every ball on its merits. There's a game that he's playing. He needs to win it. And he just goes about his business.
In speaking about the real great finishers, the only two guys I can think of who were great finishers, first of all, Michael Bevan playing for Australia and Michael Hussey are the two guys that Australia has had. I know other countries have had them as well. They're the two guys that stand out for me as great finishers. The reason MS Dhoni is on another level is because those two guys didn't have the enormous six hitting power as Dhoni has. Do you think that's a real advantage that he possesses over those two great players?
Well, I think that is a part of it. And particularly the way cricket has gone, where the fielding has certainly improved, is that, you know, in the past you could maybe sneak a few boundaries past the fielders. And now, you know, they're much quicker. Their throwing is better, more accurate. So you need to clear the field. And, you know, Dhoni certainly has that ability.
Let's move on from the Super Kings to the other group and the Rajasthan Royals. That opening day thriller against Mumbai followed that up with a thumping win over the Lions. Sanju Samson made his debut, I believe, in IPL this year. He's only a teenager and threatened to sparkle in that particular tournament as well. Here he is again with a half century against Mumbai. And then we find a veteran leg spinner by the name of Pravin Tambe. And I confess, I've never heard of the guy. He's nearly 42. I did my homework. Takes 4 for 15 to tie down the Lions, which I suppose, Josh, proves, if nothing else, that every dog has its day.
Yeah, and it just goes to show it doesn't matter what format of cricket we're playing. Experience is so vital in big tournaments in particular. And obviously, this guy's been around for a long time, maybe not at international level, but by the time you're 41, if you're a leg spinner, you should know what you're doing. He obviously does.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I actually find these types of tournaments, you know, where the journeyman first-class cricketer has his day, as you put it, every dog has his day. These are fascinating stories, aren't they? Because, you know, he's never going to play international cricket. And here's, you know, an opportunity to be in the limelight. And, you know, he takes it, probably never do anything like that again. And it's good to kind of see, you know, the experienced first-class cricketers, the honest toilers who are good enough to play professionally, not good enough to play internationally. And, you know, they see them do well. It's nice.
At the other end of the scale, we've got Samson, who has his whole career ahead of him. You and I saw a little bit of him in the IPL this year. He's, I think, 18, maybe 19 now. From what you've seen of him, does he have everything to be another great Indian cricketer for the next 15 years?
Well, I mean, he certainly showed that he can play, you know, against top-class talent, and he's very young. Now, breaking into the Indian side is going to be pretty difficult. There's, you know, oodles of talent there. You know, a population of a billion plus, and there's only 11 spots on the team. So it's going to be tough for somebody like Sanju Samson, at least in the immediate future, to kind of get into the side. But, you know, he may get the odd T20 here and there, depending on who India are playing. They may give him, you know, a bit of a run and, you know, against some, maybe some smaller teams. So, yeah, certainly one to watch.
So Chennai and Rajasthan going well so far. The surprise team, we talked about the dark horse, the qualifiers from New Zealand, Otago Volts, will discuss their continuing rise and their winning streak when we continue. Don't forget, all the action is on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online, presented by CIBC.
Watch the Champions League T20 live and in stunning high definition, exclusively on Sportsnet and Sportsnet World Online, presented by CIBC. Cricket Central is presented by CricHQ, the all-in-one cricket technology platform. One-touch scoring, no mistakes. The CricHQ app makes scoring fun and easy. Download for free today at crickhq.com on iOS and Android platforms.
Welcome back to Cricket Central. I'm Nigel Reid alongside Josh McLean and Faraz Sarawat as we continue to follow the evolving tournament that is the Champions League T20 2013. Eventually, there will only be four teams left. Will one of them be a qualifier? The Otago Volts are on a roll, and we discussed this on last week's show. Not just this tournament, but going back to their own domestic tournament, they just can't lose, and they've carried on this form into the Champions League T20. Josh, let's talk about the Volts. They came through qualifying. Mammoth score
242. And really, it doesn't matter who you're playing in T20. If you can put up that many runs, that's one heck of a lot of runs to hammer the Perth Scorchers, which I'm sure hurts you to hear that.
Well, no, it doesn't, because I'm from South Australia.
So you don't care.
They're the opposition as far as I can
see. I've clearly misjudged you. Tell us a little bit about Neil Broome. Suddenly explodes with 117 off 56 balls.
He's swept onto the scene, hasn't he, Nigel? You like that little pun?
I love it. He most certainly has. Oh, Broome, swept. Yes,
there you go.
You're way too clever for me.
Now, he's been around for a little while. He's played some cricket for New Zealand and relatively new to that setup. But him, like Butler and a couple of the other players they've got, one of the McCullum brothers as well, they're not flashy players. You wouldn't describe them as amazing to watch. They're just accumulators. And when they get set, they go big, and they've been impressive so far, haven't they?
They have. You know what I've always thought about New Zealand cricket, because it's always seen globally, I think, for us as something of the poor relation, if not to Australia, then to many other international countries. But God loves a try, and they always try, and their fielding, their effort, yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's in Test match cricket, the World Cup, or in this shorter form of the game, it's always wonderfully athletic. They never give up. They never know when they're beaten. And you've got to love that work ethic, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. They're very tough, these New Zealand boys. Otago, as Josh was saying, you know, they've won a lot of games. They're honest triers. They, you know, put their best foot forward. And, you know, if you start looking at their careers, apart from Brendan McCullum, you know, there's not a lot there in terms of averages and strike rates and all the rest of it. But you put them together and they're better than the sum of their parts. So that's good to see the Broomes and, you know, the McCullum brothers. And, you know, they've got Ryan Tendushkata in there as well. So that actually gives their top order quite a bit of oomph, I would say. You know, lots of hitters in there. And, you know, I think this is one of the teams that, you know, they're dark horses and people are rooting for them.
So as an Aussie, what is it about the cultural mentality that actually gives them that grit and that glue that sticks them together and really makes them a team, even if they don't have any great superstars?
It's a very similar culture to the Australian culture. Both countries are pretty similar like that. They're very proud of their sporting heritage. Mm. When they don the black and white, in New Zealand's case, or in Otago's case, they don their own colours. Same with the Australian players. They bleed for their colours. They bleed for their country and their teammates. And that's something that a lot of people in that part of the world grow up believing. And that just gives them that extra little bit of motivation to succeed, because it's so important that they do so while representing their country.
Do they kind of have a chip on their shoulder because they're the smaller relation to Australia and therefore they always feel they have to overperform?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair call. Every time Australia plays New Zealand, whether it be an international level or even if an Australian side was to play Otago in this tournament, they're always after us. They're always wanting to beat us and shove it in our faces when they do beat us. And I think that's fantastic.
I think it's a very laudable trait to have, and it's very attractive to watch. You mentioned Neil Broome. A little bit about Ian Butler, who's also making a name for himself. 8 wickets from 3 games already, all in winning causes. So it's not as though he's taking wickets for no reason. They're winning games as well.
Yeah, and he's also a guy that's a real, you know, he's the real future of New Zealand cricket. And they've got a couple of young guys coming through and already doing good things. So I think the future's pretty bright for the guys across the Tasman, we call them.
And as we alluded to on the show last week, they're not just there to make up the numbers. They've proved that they can come through the qualifiers very comfortably indeed. They've got this winning streak, which we're up to, what, 13, 14, 15 14, games now?
Yeah.
You know, and winning becomes a habit, of course. It doesn't matter what the sport or where the team is from.
Yeah, that's right. And I think when they entered the tournament, you know, through the qualifying round, they may have thought that, you know, it'll be good to get into the next round, but given the fact that they started so strongly and they've been winning all their games, I think they legitimately harbor hopes of winning this tournament. And, you know, if all continues to go the way it's been going, well, who's going to stop them? So it would be good to kind of see them in a semi-final situation against one of these IPL teams.
That's the issue, isn't it? If they do get to the finals, all of a sudden, a very big parochial Indian crowd, and you would expect they will play one of the IPL teams, then we'll find out how good they are.
It's a very attractive quality to have, and as you say, when you have the McCullum brothers there, then you've always got that possibility of that big score coming if it's needed, and very often T20 games are decided by one big knock. We will see how far Otago progresses in this particular tournament. From New Zealand to the West Indies, Trinidad and Tobago, 1-1, easily defended, 135 against Brisbane. Ravi Rampal took 4-14. Then in the next game, Sunil Narine, who I've enjoyed watching over the last 12 or 18 months as he's beginning to grow and become a world superstar, takes 4-9 against the Sunrisers and ends up on the losing side. How the heck does that happen?
That's the beauty of 2020 cricket, isn't it? You see these outrageous statistics, whether it be 100 off 40 balls or a guy who takes 4 or 5 wickets for almost no runs, but it doesn't necessarily mean that his team will win the game, because it's such a fast-moving game that anything can happen, and those performances don't always mean that that team will win.
You would think that if there was a superlative performance from a batsman, that the team would likely win.
Of course.
But when a bowler does it, not necessarily, because there's only 4 overs that he can bowl, which means that there are 16 other overs which could be, you know, blasted away for all kinds of runs. And often that does happen. If you've got a threatening bowler like a Sunil Narine, and we know what he can do in this format of the game, so the opposition will treat him with respect, and they won't take chances against him, and they'll target the other bowlers. So you can have a Sunil Narine emerge with really nice figures when everybody else has gone for runs.
Well, that's a very interesting point. And Josh, when we're talking about T20, it's a point worth repeating that you have to go in with a plan. It's not just about slogging to the fences. And as Farrar said, if you've got a bowler who actually can hurt you, then you let him do his stuff, and there's plenty of other bowlers that you can go after.
Yeah, in the early days of 2020, we saw sides come out and try and blast every ball for 4 and 6. Yeah. And very quickly, teams around the world figured out that's not the way to go about it. It's actually a type of format where you have to be a little bit smarter than that. You have to score runs every ball. That's the key, whether it be a 1, a 2, a 4, or a 6 or whatever it may be. You just can't afford dot balls.
Just keep the scoreboard ticking over.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then when you do get a bad ball, you have to absolutely pounce on it, and you have to hit it to the boundary. Because if you don't, quite often it can be a while until you get your next one. So it's about making hay while the sun shines and doing it as quickly as possible.
Let's talk about the Mumbai Indians, who came into this tournament as the IPL champions, and I suppose as many people's favourites to win the Champions League T20 as well. Well, slow out of the gate, I think, would be kind to the Indians so far. They lost to the Royals that opening game. Then they were unfortunate to be washed out. Finally, they've won a game against the Lions. In the end, it was a comfortable 7-wicket win, so they're up and running, and there is still time for Mumbai to prosper in this tournament.
Well, that's right. I mean, they've got all kinds of talent in that side, so it's inevitable that they, you know, will start winning. And, you know, you see a player like, you know, Dwayne Smith just blast, runs. But, you know, consistency becomes the key, right? What can you expect out of this order? And then, you know, there are players like Sachin Tendulkar where, you know, the name carries such weight, but what is he actually doing? I think bowled for about 5 against the Lions. Sohail Tanveer would have liked that quite a bit, I would think. But I think it'll be interesting to see if Mumbai can actually, you know, make it into the semi-finals. Rohit Sharma down the order, you know, he was opening in the IPL, he's kind of playing down the order here, so I think it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Are they flattering to deceive here? Do you think they've actually got an uphill battle now just to stay alive in this tournament?
Well, I mean, it's a tournament with some very good sides in it, so let's see. But I think where Mumbai become dangerous is if they get to that knockout stage. So if they're in the semi-final stage, then it would almost be folly to bet against them because, you know, there's lots of experience there. They're big name and big game players, and you would expect them to show up.
Well, I was going to say there's no substitute for experience, and Mumbai have been involved in the knockout stages so often in IPL, but this is the Champions League T20, so all the teams per se have been successful in their own domestic leagues. They're used to that expectation to perform in, you know, those knockout games.
Yeah, and that's the real beauty of this tournament is that it's all the best teams around the world that have won their local competitions. So it's all well and good for us to say, yeah, they, you know, they've stood up and they've won the IPL, but so have a number of these other teams in their own competitions.
That said, how then do we explain the lackluster performances, for want of a better expression, of the Australians and their South Africans, who so far, and maybe there's time for some of them to catch up, but by and large, Josh, they're pretty quickly getting left behind. Shouldn't we have expected more, bearing in mind particularly that Australian teams have done well in the Champions League T20 before?
Yeah, both of the teams that went through, Brisbane Heat and Perth Scorchers, were hit big time by players not playing for that particular side. We spoke about it on the last episode of Cricket Central. The Perth Scorchers, I mean, they had a huge chunk of experience and talent exit before the start of this tournament. And the same with the Brisbane Heat, you know, without Watson there, without Vittori there, they're just those teams just miss those big game players. And it just goes to show you can't afford to take quality out of these T20 sides because it's so hard to replace it.
Well, the points are getting ever more precious as the games run out. As far as the group stages are concerned, we will return to this theme, I'm sure. Thanks very much to Faraz Sarwat and Josh McLean. Don't forget you can catch all the action live on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online, presented by CIBC. Cricket Central is a Titan GSG production. Executive producer Rathan Morthy. The editor is Jeff Eaton, and I'm Nigel Reed. Until next time, thanks for listening.